Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, as the government shutdown enters day four, we have an update on the TSA situation at Sacramento International. There's a tentative reopening date for Highway 1 near Big Sur, and Carnival Cruise Lines has invented sunscreen-flavored ice cream. I kid you not. Those stories next in the news.
Oh, who tastes sunscreen ice?
Exactly.
Sunscreen, period.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. That's very weird. In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25, we discuss an Airbnb host's list of rules for the renter. What's reasonable and what's not when you stay away from home.
At 11:35, we're joined by Chris Elliott, renowned consumer advocate who focuses on travel issues. We talked to Chris about the problem with AI mistakes in travel, the possible rollback of traveler rights, and asked the question, is a $900 a year credit card really worth it?
Our odds and ends portion of the program at 11:50, we tell you how to correctly pronounce the name of the hotel chain everyone calls Marriott and pay a travel-related tribute to Robert Redford.
Welcome to our loyal listeners and those who are hearing us for the first time. After 18 years, we've moved down the dial. Today is the Sactown Sports 11:40 debut of the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Welcome, everyone, to the premiere edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on Sactown Sports 1140. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Don't forget now you can find out a lot about the Travel Guys by going to travelguysradio.com. Thanks for coming along. And for those of you who are hearing us for the first time on Sactown Sports 1140, thank you for joining us. For those of you that used to listen to us on that other radio station, well, thanks for finding us. We appreciate it. I thought we might start off today, Mark, since we have perhaps a lot of new listeners, telling folks who we are and what it is that we do here. First, let me again introduce to you my radio partner, Mark Hoffman, from Sports Leisure Vacations, the principal, if you will, of this show. Mark, why don't we take a couple of minutes and talk about your background in travel and, for that matter, radio as well.
Sure. We can bore people to tears right off the top of the right at the top of the program here, and then we'll get to the travel news. I am a tour operator by trade. I own a company called Sports Leisure Vacations. It started in 1979, so you can do the math and start to figure things out from there. But almost 50 years as a tour operator, taking folks to wonderful places all over the country, all over the planet. The Travel Guys was born about 18 years ago when we decided that maybe we might have that accumulated information over a lot of years might help other people when they were traveling. And so the Travel Guys were born, and we have been on the air ever since. It was a pretty highly rated program where we came from, and I hope it will be here. I'm glad that folks have made the journey to join us over here on a sports station for a travel program. We have sports in our name, but the reality is that while we started out doing trips to baseball games, and we still do those trips to baseball games, that is pretty much the limit of our sports endeavors at Sports Leisure Vacation. So how about you, Mr. Romano?
Well, Mr. Romano, well, I've been in radio for well over 50 years. Started my career down in Modesto and arrived here in Sacramento working for the people that have KCRA-TV. They used to own radio. I did that for a number of years. Bounced in and out of all kinds of different aspects of radio as a disc jockey. In fact, I was playing, working on a station when I met you, Mark, for the first time in the 80s when your business was new. As you pointed out, like 40 years ago, and that's when our relationship first began. And since then, bounced around from station to station, was a production and creative services director for a couple of stations over the years. And, you know, basically, folks, here's how it is. Mark is the travel expert. That's what he does. I am the radio wish I were an expert. The guy that knows the radio end. So between the two of us, we are the travel and entertainment guy. So you'll know we added the word entertainment because, you know, one of the things you do when you travel a lot is you travel for entertainment. You may be going to concerts. You may be going to Broadway shows in New York City. So we have special guests and special features. In fact, I think next week we will spend some time with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, who will be coming to Sacramento in November. And so we'll have a music-related interview. So anyway, we're all over the board. Mark's the travel expert. I'm the radio guy, and there you go.
Yeah, as we like to say, I'm the travel guy who knows the radio guy, and Tom's the radio guy who knows the travel guy. So it's an unusual combination, but it's worked out pretty well for almost two decades here. So off we go on another adventure.
All right. And thanks to Anthony Lucas, our producer here on the Travel Guys at our new home. And let's get started. Usually at the top of the Travel Guys radio program, somewhere close to the top, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition of the Travel News, once again, here's Mark Hoffman.
We alluded to this during the headlines. Carnival Cruise Lines came up with and is serving on board in limited quantities on board certain ships. They are serving sunscreen ice cream.
And that's just a name. That's now, just a name. That's made up.
Yeah, but listen, this is Tom. This is important to know. The people who helped them make this flavored ice cream.
Yeah.
Are the people who produce the flavors of Kraft macaroni and cheese. Now, if you've been on the planet a few years, you know that the color of Kraft macaroni and cheese has changed over time from orange to yellow and back to orange again. But for those of us who have been around, that's really a very special flavor. They also do Hidden Valley Ranch dressing. So the point is, these people who are doing the Carnival Cruise Lines sunscreen ice cream are not new to the game. People who have tried it said, well, okay. One guy said, well, it's actually pretty good. Another lady said, yeah, surprisingly good, but I don't know that I would make it my go-to flavor for ice cream. I can only imagine, you think maybe a little greasy, a little, you know, I mean, I don't know, sunscreen ice cream?
I don't know. I think they'd make it probably as vanilla-y as they possibly could.
Probably. Listen, for those of you who are lamenting the fact that technology has overtaken the world of travel, won't be happy about this. Ryanair, which is the European equivalent of Southwest Airlines, basically. Well, maybe more the European equivalent of Spirit Airlines. That might be more fair. They have done away completely with paper boarding passes. So if you don't have a smartphone, you're not flying on Ryanair, because you have to be able to pull your boarding pass up on your smartphone. Now, some budget airlines charge you for printing a boarding pass, and other carriers will allow you to use a paper boarding pass to board. I had an unfortunate situation several years ago where I was going through security and the power went off. And people who had paper boarding passes could go on through, but people who had them on their phone had to wait for the power to come back on, which was an hour and 20 minutes later, so that caused some problems for some folks. So I always take a paper boarding pass, but Ryanair is only going to allow you to board with an electronic boarding pass if you're headed to Europe sometime in the foreseeable future. Caltrans has announced that a stretch of Highway 1 near Big Sur, which has been closed for quite some time, is projected to reopen the end of March 2026. So if you're planning a coastal vacation, it looks like Highway 1 might be open for you next spring. Here is kind of some alarming news. In the 18 minutes leading up to the midair collision of an Army Black Hawk helicopter and the American Airlines regional jet at National Airport in January, now 18 minutes prior to the crash, the one air traffic controller who was in charge of not only those two moving vessels but some other, managed the movement of 29 separate aircraft. 18 minutes before that crash happens, The controller is managing a total of 29 separate aircraft. My dad was an air traffic controller, and it's a really stressful job and a really zooey job that most people couldn't do, but and incredibly stressful. I just can't even imagine, having been in a control tower as a kid, 29 separate aircraft. That might be part of the problem, folks, why those folks met their doom that evening in the water just outside of National Airport. If you've noticed that your favorite hotel is starting to look a little bit dirty around the edges or just rough around the edges, get used to that, because hotels' occupancy around the country is starting to roll back. The power that hotels had to raise prices post-COVID is pretty much gone away. And so 24% of hotels say that they have canceled plans to remodel next year or update rooms, things of that sort. So that's one in four hotels that are not going to update next year. From one of our Travel Guys listeners, when one of our last shows before we came here to Sactown Sports, I mentioned that there was a, you could take Yolo bus to the airport from downtown Sacramento. A listener reminds me that there are two buses that RT, the Sacramento Transit, Regional Transit, also runs hourly service from downtown Sacramento. So making it a little easier to get to the airport. The only reason this is important is because the airport has come dangerously close to running out of parking on more than one occasion. Flying to New York City, LaGuardia Airport is in a lot better shape than it used to be. However, the other big New York airport is going to be a living hell for the next couple, 3 years. JFK is going to have a lot of things done there. Specifically, if you are flying to JFK on JetBlue or getting there on another air carrier, know that if you are getting a rideshare at JFK, it's going to be really difficult for the next couple of years. They have moved the rideshare area way far from the terminal. So if you're somebody who uses a rideshare when you go to JFK, know that. Travelers have ranked the best airports in North America, and the number one airport is Minneapolis-St. Paul. Sacramento rarely appears on these lists, and I've asked a couple of the people who prepare them why, and it appears as though the methodology really ranks eating spots in airports very high. And Sacramento has a very limited number of eating places in both terminals. And so that's, they're working on fixing that right now. Construction is going on in both places.
Yeah, you know, and that may change things. I always kind of had a feeling that we get some of the low ratings because we don't have a lot of international flights because of where we're located, which I would think have something to do with it. But more's coming along. By the way, I heard that the Esquire Grill, which is there in Terminal B, which is originally was part of the Randy Perugary chain, is being replaced by a Cafe Bernardo. And I'm a big fan of theirs as well. So I think that'll go over well. But I'll kind of miss the Esquire because they always had some, you know, a good mimosa and a good little breakfast when I was getting ready to go fly.
If you've lived long enough in Sacramento, you not only remember the Esquire Grill, you can remember the Esquire Theater. That on downtown on K Street. That would take you back a really long time. Wages, this is no surprise. Wages are going up all over the country, due in some in part to inflation, but also in the travel industry, some cities and destinations have decided that people who work in tourism, even on the lowest levels of tourism, should make a living wage. I'm in favor of that, even though it does tend to impact our company with higher prices because wages are directly tied to prices. City Council in San Diego is set to consider a proposal that would increase the minimum wage to $25 an hour for workers in the tourism sector, although certain institutions, including the zoo, would be exempt. Seattle is their minimum wage in the city of Seattle is over $25 an hour. Now, of course, if you've been to San Diego or Seattle, you would know that if you're making a wage of even $25 an hour, you'd have a hard time making it. It's really a balance for tourism places, you know, hotels and the like. They require a lot of back of the house people. You don't see them all. They don't make a lot of money. But if they don't do their jobs, then your stay is going to be a lot less pleasant. I mean, you get there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and they say, hey, you know, we're short of housekeepers. So, sorry, you're going to have to wait an hour and a half before your room is ready. Then that has a really serious impact on a traveler. If you are somebody who likes to redeem points for awards, keep something in mind. Recently, this gentleman who wrote this article, This comes from the Points Guy website, and he says that the writer of this article, Sean Kadahi, says that in many cases he found that redeeming smaller numbers of points got you a better value. So in other words, you're saving 200,000 points so that you can get that first class ticket to go overseas on Delta Airlines or something like that. What this gentleman is saying that even if you don't go that far, if you're spending 80,000 points on a domestic first class or 50,000 on a domestic ticket, that you might be better off to pay money for that ticket and use your points and miles to secure a larger number of shorter run tickets. His point is that short hops, if you travel within South California, you know that airfares that used to be $98 round trip that not that long ago now can be as much as $250 or $300 depending on when you're traveling. So his point is that in many cases, using your points and your miles for non-peak days will get you a much better deal. And he gave some examples of where he got Southwest airline tickets, seats that are on sale for as little as 4,000 points each way, which kind of stuck in my brain a little bit. So just keep in mind that when you're buying that cheap ticket for cash and saving the points, sometimes it might be better value to use the points for that ticket. Spirit Airlines, which has been so close to bankruptcy, you could taste it here for about a year, has gotten $475 million in financing. They are in their second bankruptcy. My caution, as I've said here before on the air to folks, is if you're thinking of flying Spirit Airlines and you're going tomorrow or the next day, great. But if you're planning for 4 or 5 months down the road, buyer beware. They might not be here then. And finally, an update on some of the places that you might be going to that might be impacted by the government shutdown. Remember, national parks are going to be the greatest impact. Here's an update from Yosemite. The gates are open at Yosemite. You can go there. The Yosemite Park concessionaire, Yosemite Hospitality, is still operating. They operate all the food, all the lodging, everything within the park. They're not collecting fees at the gate, so you're not going to have to stop and pay an entrance fee because that's collected by the Park Service staff. You're not going to have they are going to continue to do maintenance in the park, which is important because that means restrooms will be open and be maintained. Many parks are not like this. So if you're going somewhere else in the country to national parks, expect the visitor center to be closed. Expect there basically to be no ranger presence. So no national park staff presence. So if you were planning on a walking tour or something that was operated by the Park Service, that's probably not going to happen. Will you be able to go to some of these places and still see them? Yes. If they're outdoor places, if they're house museums and the like, then probably no. And then you get to a place, I have a group headed to South Dakota next week. They're going to Mount Rushmore. Will Mount Rushmore be open? The possibility is no, that it will not. But keep in mind, there are ways to see Mount Rushmore, to see the carving on the mountain from a number of places in the Black Hills. You don't have to actually be at Mount Rushmore. Also, in the Black Hills, Crazy Horse Memorial is privately owned and operated. So they will go on just like they always have because they have nothing to do with the government. In Washington, D.C., the Smithsonian Museums have remained open. They are going to remain open next week. And then if the government shutdown continues past October the 11th, all of the Smithsonians will be closed to the public. So if you're headed to D.C. or you're headed to any... There are museums around the country that are branches of the Smithsonian, and they say that in their name. So if they say that, then you're going to want to check to make sure that that facility is going to be open because the possibility is that it will not be. If it's national parks and you have to drive through a gate to get in, you're probably okay. If you have to walk through a door to get in, then the answer is that you're probably not. And really and truly, a good traveler does their homework in situations like this. Hopefully, our lawmakers and leaders will come together and resolve this issue before it impacts too many more people. I also asked our friends security out in at TSA, Dale and Sid, how things were going with them out there. They said so far everything is fine. There hasn't been really any impact. But they did talk a little bit about how this will impact travelers and their staff, perhaps, if it wears on. We'll talk up a little bit later about that a little bit later on in the program. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the travel and entertainment guys, on our premiere show here on Sactown Sports 1140. We'll be here every Saturday from 11 a.m. To noon. By the way, one of our longtime sponsors, if you will, and friends is Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House, right over there off of Highway 50 in Hazel. Just wanted to let you know that there is a Travel Guys special that you might want to take advantage of Monday through Monday. Also for lunch, it's the 6-ounce lobster tail for $29.95 with the fixins. You might want to ask for that. Be sure to ask for the Travel Guy special, and you could really razzle dazzle them and tell them you heard it on Sports Town, Sactown Sports 1140. Rudy's Hideaway is kind of a, like the Travel Guys, a bit of a, you know, a long time business, run by the same folks and hosted by the same folks, with employees that just won't ever leave because they love working there and they love the people that come and dine there. Everything from steak and lobster to whatever you would like, a nice hamburger, and of course Mark's favorite thing at Rudy's Hideaway,
the clam chowder. Yum.
You just tell them anytime you go that the Travel Guy sent you. It's right off of Highway 50 and Hazel. Welcome, everyone. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, debut show of our program today here on Sactown Sports 1140. Thank you for joining us, Mark. All right, we're going to delve into the some rules that you ran across for Airbnb.
Well,
I find these interesting.
Seen this before. I mean, it's not uncommon when you check into an Airbnb. I'm not a huge Airbnb fan. I don't even like to stay in my you know, they have an extra bedroom, and you go there for the holidays or something. They say, "Oh, we got plenty of room here." It's like, "Yeah, that's just fine. I'll be 3 blocks down the street at the courtyard."
Yeah, but you have to put up with your relatives that are there when you do an Airbnb, Mark. You get the whole place to yourself.
Yeah, except it's someone else's home. You know, and to me that's just weird. I would not want somebody renting my home and going through it. I mean, you know, and people have curiosities and they'd be, you know, rummaging around in all different places. Anyway, this lady, she posted a thing. She ran into an Airbnb where there were 20 house rules. Some of them are kind of, you know, commonplace. I mean, you know, no shoes on the sofa or the bed. But I sort of feel like with an Airbnb, the rules of the house should align with the rules of the house of a hotel. You know, I'm not going to destroy anything, but if I want to sit on the bed and eat pizza, then that's what I'm going to do, because that's normal in a hotel. So I would think that would be normal in an Airbnb. I mean, you wouldn't, you know, this lady, one of her rules is take your shoes off at the door and, you know, don't wear your shoes upstairs or around the house or anything like that. I don't know about you, but I don't take my shoes off when I go into a hotel room.
No eating on the sofa, Mark, and no food in the bedroom.
You see, that's what I'm talking about. So some of these are common sense. Switch lights off when not in use and ensure taps are turned off after use. No illegal activities of any kind on the property. The lady who rented the place said, you know, I'm not a child. I don't. Most of these things are common sense. I would not do these things. And her point was that if you really feel that protective about your stuff and your place, then why are you sharing it with other people? I mean,
please use placemats at all times on the table. Do you use placemats?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't use them at my house. I don't use them in a hotel room. I don't carry them with me to use in other people's homes. The woman who here's a comment from after the lady posted the list. A commenter said, a long list of rules was unnecessary. The only expectation the owner should have of renters is that the property is, quote, left in a good, clean condition. Another commenter said, I understand the owners want to keep their property in the best condition possible, and I will respect their space, but I just feel like I'm not going to relax if I have to pay attention to all of these rules all of the time. Plus, I'm afraid that if I leave a spot on the bedspread, you know, the piece of pizza that I was eating, leaves a spot on the bedspread that I'm going to get charged $50 afterwards. And that's sort of the deal here, is that I stay in hotels all the time. I don't trash hotel rooms. I don't hold parties. I don't, you know, I mean, some of them are left dirtier than others. Sometimes the hotel is only coming in every 2 or 3 days. So, you know, things that trash and stuff might be accumulating. But I don't, if I'm in a hotel room, I don't want to feel like, and that's my whole thing with Airbnb is, and are other people like this, Tom?
You know, here's the takeaway, I think, with this, is that when you get ready to think about signing up for an Airbnb, they will post the rules early on right there where you're looking to book it. And when you go over these 20 points or whatever they have, and if it doesn't work for you, then it doesn't work for you.
Yeah, but what happens is this lady, is her comment was, here when I got there, here was this list of 20 rules that nobody had bothered to share with me ahead of time. She said there weren't really, she said they were kind of funny and ridiculous, but she said if I had seen that ahead of time, I would have moved on. She said I would have realized that the person who was renting this particular property was somebody who was really particular in that, you know. And so that's the point. If you're an Airbnb host, try to be reasonable. If you're an Airbnb guest, try to be reasonable. And if either one of those don't work for you, there's lots of hotels all over town.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
Sports Leisure Vacations is a 46-year-old Sacramento-based tour company that takes mature travelers on adventures all over the country and indeed all over the planet. Our annual catalog has just been released. This year it's called Beyond Borders. It offers over 36 adventures. You can get a copy of it by giving us a call at Sports Leisure Vacations at 916-361-2051. That's 916-361-2051. Or you can go to sportsleisure.com, where all of the trips are listed online, and you can go down the rabbit hole and start planning your next grand adventure. Sports Leisure Vacations has been the choice of thousands of Sacramento area travelers for many years. We're a locally based company and part of the community. Give us a check us out at sportsleisure.com, and that's your Sports Leisure Minute for today.
Hey there, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Time to revisit one of our favorite, well, actually, I think he may only be our only consumer advocate we have on the show, but he's a regular and we love him. He's a travel expert and consumer advocate, Chris Elliott. Chris, once again, welcome to the Travel Guys here at our new broadcast to home at Sactown Sports 1140. Say hi, hello to perhaps some new listeners.
Hello, it's an honor to be with you. This is very exciting, guys.
Yeah, well, it's kind of, duck there. A volleyball just came flying through the screen there. The things here at the sports station, things are a little different. Anyways, you are, and listen, not only are we in a new place, but you are in a new place. Welcome to this place called the United States of America.
I know. It just feels so weird talking to you actually from the U.S. So I'm usually on a different continent or in a different time zone, and I'm actually in your time zone. I'm in Phoenix. This is really surreal.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, for those of us joining and it's for the first time and not knowing much about Chris Elliott, Chris travels the planet. In fact, where were you when we spoke to you last?
I want to say I was in Greece, either Greece or Paris. Because I was in Paris for a couple of weeks. But yes, I was in Europe most of the summer.
And so having him here in the States is a real treat, even though, like, as he's in the same time zone, so we don't have to calculate 12-hour differences to pull this off. Anyway, go ahead, Mark. What are we going to talk about with Chris today?
Chris, I've got a variety of topics here that are all, I think, in your areas of expertise, things that you have written about, and I would love to have you share. A few days ago, you penned a column, Why the Brave New World of AI Travel Planning is Already Broken. And I saw some friends actually later that day, and who are all independent travelers, and they do their own thing. And I'm like, you know, are you using AI to do any of your travel? And a couple of them said that they that they were. But one of them said, well, you know, that AI thing, it gives you itineraries and things that you can't always really do. So anyway, I thought it was kind of a random sampling of what you were talking about here. How is AI coming along with travel? Because everybody says this is a game changer.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, there's a survey that I cited in the article that said 90% of all AI queries on travel. So that's basically when you're trying to get the AI to generate an itinerary for you. 90% have errors in them. And I talked to some people who actually used ChatGPT to create an itinerary. And one woman, it was hilarious. She actually was going to Paris, and she, the ChatGPT had given her an itinerary to a museum that was not open on the day that she was going to be there, which would have been a really huge problem for her if she had actually not double checked. Which brings me to like the most important part of the story, which is you have to verify what the AI is telling you, because it does something that we call hallucinate. In other words, it just sometimes makes up facts, or it's not careful when it's creating an itinerary. Mm-hmm. Definitely an artificial intelligence. So what I found was that a lot of people are being very cautious right now about AI. And I think that that's kind of the takeaway for all of us, is that if you are using AI, not a problem, you should do that, but verify it. And you can also use a travel advisor, a human travel advisor, because they're much less likely to make crazy mistakes like ChatGPT.
Well, and you've given some examples in your ad here about, you know, a ferry time that was wrong. You just said a museum that wasn't open, hours and things like that are other things that people are reporting are not at the same time.
I was just going to say, I mean, what's the point in using this if you have to double check it every time you turn around? I mean, it's just pointless.
Well, I mean, it's nice. An AI can actually give you a really good, it can give you suggestions of things to do. And a lot of people are using AIs for that. So they don't know what's going on in town, for example, and maybe the AI can generate a calendar of events. But what you have to do, though, is then go back and look at the actual link and say, well, you know, I mean, are they getting the information from a year ago? Because a lot of AIs don't really update that often. And so you want to make sure you have the latest information, that sort of thing. So just, you know, verify it. But I mean, to say don't use an AI at all, I mean, I know a lot of travel agents who are using AI, and they say as long as you know what you're doing, it can generate really good suggestions. Just don't rely on it.
That's an excellent point. Suggestions and ideas. I mean, you're in a strange city and you're looking for a French restaurant. You know, what's within 15 minutes of my hotel? Or are there any walking distance? But you've got to do your homework. And those of us who are longtime travelers know that homework is the number one word. I mean, somebody tells you, hey, this is cool, or try this, or take a look at that. And if you're a seasoned traveler, you know to go back and double check it somewhere and verify it. And I think that's your point here, is that we have this amazing tool, but just, you know, taking its word and walking out into the middle of nowhere might not be the best idea.
Yes, exactly. You don't want to rely on it completely. You want to do your own research, your own homework, consult with a travel advisor, that kind of thing. But don't let it make the entire itinerary for you, because, as I said, 90% of these itineraries have errors in them. One of the sources that I talked to, we were talking about kind of the future of this, and will it ever get better? The answer is yes. It's, you know, the AIs will get better as more people use them and as the algorithms become more sophisticated. But you'll never be able to completely trust an AI for planning a trip, because there are just so many different variables, and there's no perfect AI. So you really, if anything, the takeaway here is that now you have to do more checking than ever. And in the future, you'll still have to do more checking.
We're talking with Chris Elliott, by the way, consumer advocate. And Chris has been on our, if you're new here to the Travel Guys, Chris has been around for a long time. At one point in time, he had a column in the Sacramento Bee where he answered consumers' inquiries about travel The bee isn't quite what it used to be. That's the nicest thing I can say. So anyway, we're running down our list here. Our second item on the list, Chris, recently, a lot of the premium credit cards that include the really big perks have gone up in price. In some cases, there's an American Express card now that's $895 a year. Are these premium cards really worth that much money? I mean, are there benefits that you can easily take advantage of that will allow you to recoup that money? Or is this kind of a scam?
It's kind of a scam. It's if you're paying $900 for a credit card, chances are you're getting some things that you're not even going to use. But when I talk to travelers, because these cards are geared mostly for travelers, they allow you to do things like collect more frequent flyer points and hotel points and things like that. But if you are interested in maximizing your credit card for travel purchases, there's probably something less expensive or better than plunking down $900 for an American Express card. I mean, if you look at some of the benefits that they came out with, some of the businesses that they're partnering with, not everyone is going to go to, what is it, Lululemon to go buy clothes. And I don't think that really is aligned with what most people want. As a matter of fact, most people just want to get a nice, an inexpensive plane ticket to their next destination. This card is not going to help you do that. This card is going to just encourage you to spend more. And that's really been my critique of credit cards, especially these points earning cards, is that they encourage you to spend more and more and more because you say, oh, I want to get the points. And really, that's not what you want to be doing. You want to be looking at this in a much more sober way and looking at how what is the best way of getting to my destination, the most efficient way. And if I can earn some points and get some loyalty, that's great. But don't do it just to get the points and the loyalty.
There's another big consideration, too, that is popping up more and more recently. More and more merchants are charging a surcharge if you use a credit card. So I'm going to suggest to you that when you run into a merchant that's asking you for 3 or 3.5 or 4% for the privilege of using a credit card, that any benefit that you're getting from that card with your points, miles, et cetera, are completely wiped out by that surcharge. Well, as a business person, those charges can be quite high, but you go into a nice restaurant and there's four of you and you have a nice dinner and the bill's $300. You know, you've just paid $9, $10, $12 in credit card charges. So really and truly, you're chasing something that may or may not be there. When you get enough points, they may have moved the goalpost. That benefit may still not be there. The flight that you want may not be available. All of those things, it just seems kind of like insanity here, especially now that the merchants have said, look, the interchange fees are ridiculous. At my company, it's roughly 3%, 2.97 at the last check, that it costs us to take your credit card and take your money, and then we have to pay the credit card company roughly 3%. So that's why these merchants are coming back and saying, hey, we want to recoup this money. And so I just suggest to folks that if you're buying a United Air ticket and it's United credit card, you're not going to pay a surcharge. But if you're going to the grocery store or you're going to some specialty outlet or the beauty supply shop and using your United credit card, you may very well be paying a surcharge that negates the value or pretty much negates the value of any points or miles that you're getting.
I absolutely agree with you. If you are a very frequent traveler and your values align with what the benefits are on this new American Express card that they just rolled out, then I say, go for it. Fine. You know, I'm not going to stop you from paying American Express $900. But what I wanted to tell you was that about a year ago, I was in Brazil. They have a system called Pix there, and it is a system that completely bypasses the credit cards and allows you to transfer money between your account and a business. And there are almost no fees. It's really remarkable. It's something the government did. And I think that that's the direction that we probably need to be headed in. Because right now, there are all these merchant fees, as you mentioned, swipe fees. And some of those swipe fees are getting kicked back to consumers in the form of points and miles. but it's a very inefficient and bloated system. The only people who are getting rich here are the credit card companies and a couple of people who have figured out how to hack the system. So they're doing things like manufactured spending and shifting the balance from one credit card to another, that kind of thing. But for the rest of us, we are all losing. You know, we're making purchases on our credit cards that we sometimes can't afford. We're paying the minimum, and then we're getting hit with credit card fees and late fees. And that just simply has got to end. If you look at the amount of credit card debt that we're in as a country, it's more than $1 trillion. I think it's $1.5 trillion, and it keeps going up. And we have to stop the cycle, because it's going to really, really hurt us financially at some point.
Chris Elliott is our guest here on The Travel Guys. You can find Chris has free information that he will send you every week. There's an enhanced, there's a subscription that you can pay for and get even top-notch information. Go to Elliott.org, E-L-L-I-O-T-T, two L's and two T's, .org, and that'll get you started. Also, if you have a consumer issue that isn't even travel-related and you need some help with it, you need somebody to go to bat for you, like Chris has a system that will help you, and you can go to his website. And so not just for travel items, but just for consumer items in general. Chris, I have one more thing here before we wrap up. We have a couple more minutes. You talked about we have an administration now in Washington, D.C. that is very business friendly. It is not consumer friendly. It's run by a man who feels, I think, that he's been taken out to the woodshed more than once over the years by regulations and stuff, and he's determined to undo as much of that as possible. Unfortunately, over the last few years, consumers have made some great gains in the travel arena, particularly against airlines, and it looks as though some of those may go by the wayside, not be enacted, etc. Can you give us kind of a capitalization of what's going on with consumer rights in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, so briefly, at the beginning of the year, the airlines sent a wish list to the government of all the regulations that they wanted to get rid of, and it was a very long list. I'll hit the highlights for you. They want to get rid of something called fair transparency. So the now they would be able to quote a fare that excludes things like taxes and mandatory fees. And in other words, you'd start off with a low number, and then at the end of the booking process, you'd arrive at a much higher number. They want to do that because it benefits them and more people book tickets. They also are trying to get rid of new rules that would require an airline to refund a ticket automatically. There are new rules for disabled passengers and accommodating them. There's a whole lot of them. A total of 9 really rules that they want to get rid of. They've already convinced the government to not enforce. There was a rule that they were going to implement earlier this year that would have been very good for consumers, and they're not going to do that now. So there's just a lot going on, and the airlines are probably going to get their way with some, if not all of these. So something to be very concerned about. I should say one other thing too, and that is, the gains that were made in the last 10 years were very modest. They were not outrageous by any stretch of the imagination. So what they're taking away here are rules that really would have been very helpful, are very helpful, and they're going to harm consumers ultimately if they're removed.
Chris, I really appreciate your time and on a variety of your expertise on a variety of topics today, especially as we start off here on a new station. Elliott.org is where you can find Chris, 2 L's, 2 T's. And remember, he is your consumer go-to guy. Thanks again, Chris.
All right. Thank you.
And don't forget now, you can always find a link to Chris Elliott and all of our special guests here at Travel Guys Radio at travelguysradio.com. Also, for those new listeners, if you would like a podcast of our program, if you go to travelguysradio.com, there's a place where you can sign up to be alerted as to when the podcasts are ready and available, so that you won't have to keep coming back to look for it. So, again, travelguysradio.com. Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Somebody's dribbling a basketball here in the background, Mark. Let me please, if you don't mind. It's what happens when you're on a sports radio station, Sactown Sports 1140. We're the new kids on the block for at least an hour. We're Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the travel and entertainment guys. Mark, let's get ready to wrap it up. What do we got?
Well, I found this really interesting last week. Ben Schlappig from One Mile at a Time. Ben writes a really good blog. And he had a little story about a hotel chain. And he said he's written in the past about how some airline names are frequently mispronounced. However, did you know the name at one of the world's biggest hotel groups is also often mispronounced, especially in American English? So when you go and you stay at the M chain, I don't know about you, but I call it Marriott.
Marriott.
Ending in like O-T-T, but that's not the right pronunciation, dude. It's supposed to be Marriott.
Marriott.
Like chariot. So it's not Marriott, it's Marriott.
Marriott.
Yeah, Marriott.
All right. Well, so I'll fix that.
Yeah. Next time you go in to check in at the Marriott, and you can inform them that you know exactly how to pronounce the name, which probably the person behind the counter will look at you like you've pretty much lost your mind. So you might want to keep that little piece of information to yourself in certain situations. Listen, we lost Robert Redford last week, and guy who's been around for a long time, mostly known for a lot of his work as an actor in Westerns. But he grew up in the Fresno area. And when he was about 11 years old, his mother, they were from Los Angeles and came up to Fresno. And so he had a case of polio when he was a small kid. And so you think back to the 40s, that's before the polio vaccination. So she decided that it would be nice. She thought he had missed out on a lot of nature. And so she took him up to Fresno and they went into Yosemite Valley. And he was just blown away. He said, there's this mile-long tunnel, and when you come out the other side, it's just the most amazing thing that you've ever seen in your entire life. And he was like, I don't want to just look at this. I want to be part of this. So when he became old enough to work, one of his first jobs was working as a waiter at Camp Curry and Yosemite Lodge in the park. And, of course, Redford became known for all kinds of wonderful things after that and got involved environmentally. But Robert Redford's really true place that he loved the most was at Yosemite National Park. So I thought that was kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, rest in peace, Robert Redford. Always loved his work. Okay, my friends, so we're winding down our very first travel and entertainment show here on Sactown Sports 1140. Let's see, coming up next week here on the Travel Guys, we're going to be visiting with Al Petrelli. Al is the music director and lead guitar for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. We're going to talk with Susan, who is a home swapper, and we'll wrap it up with Wallet Hub's latest take on the Sacramento food scene.
Yeah, you betcha. Sacramento is in the top 10 on a list. Yeah, go Sacramento. Thank you for being a listener of the Travel Guys today and coming along with us. Remember to dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next week at 11 o'clock.